to network. But thank you for that information. I'm sure everyone is to hear that. I'm going to go back. I was using my initial agenda, my draft, not the one sent out, so that's why things are a little bit out of order. But Lucretia, do we have anything on membership, any report on membership?
Yes, I could give that. Currently, we still have our two vacancies, and that's in the category of the Workforce Investment Board and in the Department of Labor. But we did have the new appointees. Those were submitted to, their applications were already submitted to the governor's office.
Correct.
However, we're still pending approval from the office. So from the time I spoke with Carol and Mary, I don't know if anything has come across your desk, but if it hasn't, that's where we are right now.
Okay, thank you. I can reach out to Andrew Norton. Maybe you could check for us the status. I know Cheryl's not here. Cheryl Steplak was very, and Mary were instrumental in getting these appointments, because I know they were vacant for quite some time. And again, I mentioned we'll go through with the creation of the membership committee to see if people are, you know, consistently not making meetings, and then we'll have to see if we can urge them or encourage them to participate if they can. Otherwise, seek other members who want to be active and participate. We're in good timing now, going to do business. We'll start with, we covered the CSR, customer satisfaction, and the needs assessment. So that was covered by Carol. New business, first item will be the success story. Do we have one ready to go?
Good morning, we are here. This is Crystal Kelly.
Good morning,
Counselor. Good morning, so I can get right into it. The concern that I have today has been the same with behavior, and he and I have been working together since 2018. He helps with people that delay services such as guidance and counseling, job placement services, job search assistance, rehabilitation technology, orientation and mobility. He has successfully navigated services with the American Job Center as well. He has been dedicated to his goal of achieving employment and has never given up on finding a job. And on December 2022, Daniel was hired at DW Resources as a production assistant after completing a trial work experience. Daniel, I'd like to say thank you for remaining patient with us. There's been so many changes over the last couple of years while we worked together with providers that kind of put a bit in us moving quickly with finding new employment. So thank you for being patient and continuing wanting to work with us. And I'm so proud of all that you have achieved. And so now I yield the floor to you, Daniel, so you can talk about your experience.
I love the job that I'm doing. And it's been helpful for me.
So Daniel, what are you doing now? Well, give us a little bit more detail as far as what you're doing over.
Working some kind of tasks in there that I'm asking to do.
Okay, and what was your experience like working with Desi? I know you've been working with us for several years. How was that?
Different than now. Different counselors.
Can you talk a little bit more about the services that you receive?
The one we do now is different than many years ago, the different counselors.
So what was different about the counselors?
They were different people working with me.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Daniel?
No.
Okay. So, like I said, Daniel has received several different services from us, and he's always been very committed to what was recommended for him to the services that were recommended to him. And he's always put forth a great effort, and he's always been very kind and very patient with us, and he's always given his all, even when we hit bumps in the road. He always kept a smile on his face, and he's always been very respectful and hopeful that the do, which was help him find a job that he's happy with, a job that caters to his needs and supports his end goal, which is maintaining his lifestyle. And again, we thank you, Daniel, for working with us and remaining patient with us throughout these years.
Yes.
Does anyone have any questions for Daniel before we go?
Yes, Daniel. Hi, this is Philip. I want to congratulate you on being successful in the program and finding a job that you like. What's the best thing about the job? What's your favorite part about your new job?
Learning new tasks. I learned also the army. They do army stuff also. That's the thing I like. But the army. And the tags, they're doing all the tags now. So I'm learning how to do that.
So you're still learning more skills as you're working?
Correct.
That's great. Are you happy there?
Yes.
Awesome. That's all we can ask for. You're happy and successful. Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part of finding a job for you?
Looking the right job for me, because I was before a bench worker, so it was hard to find in Connecticut. Very hard.
But you found something you like.
Yes.
That is great. Well, keep up the good work, and make sure to have your VR counselor give us an update if something changes. You get a promotion, you do better, you're happier. Let us know, okay?
Yes.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
Congratulations on your job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Same. Congratulations. It's great to hear. It's a feel-good story. That's awesome, Daniel.
This is what we love to hear. We want to hear people achieving things. So, thank you again. Have a great year. Okay, Daniel?
Thank you. Thank you all for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Great job. Thank
you. Okay, it's good hearing things like this. Awesome. Next item is the IRA update. I'll talk about that. I know for the past 6 months, and specifically the last 4 months, I've been trying to work on this IRA. Bill DeMeo was very interested in helping us promote it, and I spoke with Marty Watts from IRA multiple times on a regular basis. And the pilot program ends at the end of this month, and right now it looks like it's not getting picked up for permanent usage. And I'm really concerned, because I had several conversations, not only with IRA, with Marty from IRA, but also with Lori St. Amant, who is the liaison from BSBE onto this committee. And when this first started, it was a DOT job. DOT saw it somewhere and said, we could put this at the airport. Then they found they could expand it, and they got a $250,000 grant. And a lot of money went to UConn for doing a survey on the use of the program and if it's something feasible to be funded in the future. I think we have less than 60 people signed up. That's very small compared to the number of blind and visually impaired in Connecticut. The health census, last health census showed approximately 100,000 people in Connecticut from low vision to blind. We weren't reaching people. And 3-4 months ago, Marty let me know that, you know, the initial email I received a year ago, more than a year and a half ago, about IRA, this pilot program, I was just only. And then we learned, you know, a year later, no, it's for essential services. So Marty was supposed to come up with a list of 50 services that IRA could be used for, like 50 services in 50 days. He had a campaign. Never got anything. Never saw anything. Never received an email from BSBE. Never got anything from, it just disappeared. So I talked to Marty last week, like, what's going on? Oh, I did do that list. I'm like, where did it go? Well, it went on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So that's not reaching the clients of BSBE. I don't have Twitter. I don't have Instagram. I don't follow IRA on Facebook. So it wasn't marketed well. It wasn't promoted well. And for that reason, the number of users is so low. then of course nobody's going to fund that. Because it would be about $100,000 to fund that program every year, according to Martin, for people to use it for free. It's about $100 a month minimum for the service. As we know, the unemployment rate of the blind, it's a big nut for some people to crack to afford that. So it looks like we're going to lose it. You know, I don't know if anyone wants to form another work group and look at ways that we can get it funded, like a private-public combination, get some grant money. $100,000 is not a lot of money. It's all scoped for budget. So maybe we could find it somewhere or get some, again, private-public partnerships to fund it. I don't know if anyone else on the call here uses IRA. We use it quite a bit. But it looks like it's back to Be My Eyes, which is free. So again, I don't know where to point the finger. It seems like a lot of missing pieces, and they never had any end user from the public who are blind on this little work group they had meeting twice a month. So it really wasn't effective or efficient. DOT kind of dropped away from it because it's not being used. And I'm very sad and disappointed that this happened. I know that Marty said that Brian was a big push behind this getting going in Connecticut. And once he left, it kind of sank to the bottom of the sea. So if anyone has any comments or questions in the IRA, or has a desire to help maybe try to kickstart it, get going again, reach out to me, let me know, or you can mention something right now.
Yeah, thank you, Phil, for checking. Oh, sorry, go ahead, John.
This is John Carnimola. So Phil, it kind of sounds like this particular case is nearing its end, so there may not be much that we could do to bring life back into it. But maybe for any future such engagements where we need marketing or we need to reach the blind population of Connecticut, maybe it's worthwhile for BESBE to reach out to people directly. We have contact information for people as part of having services with them. Maybe it's possible for BESBE as an organization to start some kind of ability to reach out to people and notify everyone, hey, we've got this service that you could use, whatever it may be, in the most formalized method. That could be some kind of newsletter that we could set up for people, but also just in general to have reached out to everyone and said, you can get IRA for free, here's how you do it, to all BESBE clients.
Absolutely, and that was a bone of contention for me since September, when I was presumed to be the chair taking October 1st. That's when I reached out to Marty directly myself. And again, he said it's being done. I haven't received anything. Lori, again, 2-hour conversation with Lori from BESBE, and just impressed upon her that we need to reach the clients. It still wasn't done. So I know they did it. I got an email a year and a half ago from my O&M instructor, former O&M instructor Matt Cornelius, who sent everyone about it. But again, it was just saying it was for transportation. So it was never communicated effectively of what IRA is and how it can help people in so many ways. And the ball is dropped by so many players. But we can, find a way to raise some money, a lot of money in Southwest Connecticut here, maybe get a grant covered, and I'll look into some resources for that. And we can do it again. I know that Oklahoma, Arkansas, one of those states just, the state's funding it now on an ongoing basis for everyone. So there's no reason why we can't do it here, but it's going to take effort. And because if people want to help do that, that's fine. But definitely, you're right. That list, the clients on the listserv for BESBE, those are we going after. Every time an O&M instructor, a VR instructor, a rehab teacher goes to someone's house, they say, hey, we have this, if they're capable of using a smartphone, obviously, hey, we have this program, it's free, let me put it on your phone and show you how to use it. And they just don't know how many people. I know my VR counselor did that and told us about it. But I just don't know if that was standard practice for everyone.
This is Carol.
Yes, Carol.
When I or a supervisor receive information, we do send an email blast out to consumers that we have email addresses for.
Yeah.
So that is part of the issue. Not all of our consumers have email or internet, at that. I did run IRA by RSA because you would have to seek prior approval for that to use any state or federal funds for that. And based on the cost of what IRA quoted me and the very low usage of consumers, RSA was not supportive of using the dollars for it. Just so you know, I did check with RSA, and they were not supportive.
Oh, yeah, I know you checked on that, and I agree. With such a small number of users, you know, and even the $100,000 for 50 users or 60 users, that would be
such a thing.
Yeah, $100,000 is way too much money. And then, you know, I found out later, they don't need to do unlimited for everybody. They could just do for minutes use, which would be much less money if we did it that way. So, again, I think we were the test case where I would try and get the state government to pay for this. Everything was done wrong. You know, that's my opinion. So, we'll figure out a way.
Just a quick question. I'm sorry.
Sure, Scott.
Quick question. This is Scott. Do we have a sense of the minimum number of users that people were looking for in order to get it funded?
Marty was trying to get 100. He thought if he could go to someone and say, hey, we got 100 users. That's still a low number for the amount of people who could benefit from this service in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But he thought his magic number was 100. And I think he just gave up. Remember, he's a salesman, so he's getting a commission for this.
That still seems reasonably low for the price, Phil. Although, you know, 100 people still seems unreasonably low. You said that was $100,000 a month, correct?
No, it's a year. A year.
For the year?
For a year.
For the year.
Okay.
Yes, the year. Yeah.
Even so, that's not not a small amount of money for $1,000 a year per person. It seems like something is a little bit off in that pricing model.
Absolutely, because they were basing that price on their most expensive plan, which is always like 2,500 minutes per person, because that's the most you can get on a plan. So I think that's part of the reason why the expense is so high. And when I use it, maybe 10 minutes a month, it's not that long I need to use it for. So they're making a lot of money on that, and they're charging full retail price to the state. Not the discount price individual users get on the program. So
yeah, so that seemed a little bit disingenuous as well to do that when you don't have enough users to warrant anything remotely like it.
Absolutely. But I'm trying to see if I get some private sponsorship. We'll see what we can do. Or maybe get a group plan where we have the members who are using it, you know, through BSB and find out about it. You know, maybe they can give us a group discount rate for if we get a group of 50 or 60 people, do a group plan. That might be something, like a group discount, volume discount. So I'm going to hope that we can do that. But anything else on IRA?
This is Deb. I just, you know, it is disappointing that marketing wasn't better distributed. And of course, we know that BSB is the best point of contact with the blind in the state. That's where we all start and continue to try and get services. And it also highlights another, you know, a case for the woefully low and continuing to decrease adult services budget. And I know that's not for this department, but we're trying to advocate with our state legislature to increase the adult services budget, and hopefully, you know, I know our voc rehab clients could definitely benefit from a lower minute usage service with IRA, and not the largest plan that they were looking for. So,
no,
thank you.
That's a great point about adult services, because a lot of people adult services, you know, are not in the job market, are usually the ones who need that assistance more than anyone. You know, the people in the VR program are pretty tech savvy most of the time. But you know, someone who lives alone who's older may be able to press a button on a smart phone that brings up IRA, or there's a new flip phone for IRA, and get that help around the house. So, you know, they could use it just as much, maybe more than most people. But we'll start.
And when you have that O&M training, the orientation and mobility instructor is is there with the client. So if we had that as another tool to offer, that could be, you know, another case for getting that installed to help the person navigate as well.
Well, if we can encourage that into a policy that, you know, when the counselors go out with a VR or rehab teachers or whatever technologist, you know, maybe we can have it where, you know, they're encouraged to present it to the clients, at least let them know about it, or even Be My Eyes, which is free. Just because it's another step that, you know, best be can't be everywhere at all times to help us solve the problems we have or interact with technology, but if there's an easy way to, you know, even there's shortcuts on the phone, you know, open Be My Eyes. If I volunteer, it's simple, it's very helpful to people. So again, something we'll keep talking about for certain.
Can I say something? It's Anita from VR.
Hi.
Just to let you know, I do market Aira, especially to folks that are working. And then seeing AI, and then our rehab technologist has developed a list of iPhone applications for the legally blind population. Just want to note that for the group.
I'm going to ask Christy Allen, when she's here today, let's have that list.
Absolutely.
All right. Next, we're very fortunate today to have Tyrell Sampson, who is the director of the Randolph Shepherd program here, the PEP program. And I'll yield the floor to him to tell us about the program. A lot of people, I'm sure, don't know everything about it and what it is, and he'll give us some enlightenment. And then middle of April, I'll be going for two different conferences in Bethesda, Maryland on behalf of the SRC. And two of the days are going to be a lot about this stuff, so I hope to come back more informed and be able to share what I've learned in Maryland. So Tyrell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. As Phil stated, my name is Tyrell Sampson. I'm the supervisor for the Business Enterprise Program, and joined with me today is my colleague Tracy Morin, who is the marketing representative within the program, and she plays a major role in the operation of the program as well. So this is a program within BESB, Department of Aging and Disability Services. The Business Enterprise Program, and it's usually referred to as the BEP, is a federally authorized program implemented by many states throughout the country to train and license people who are blind or visually impaired to establish and operate food service businesses on federal, state, and municipal locations. BEP was made possible through the Randolph-Shepherd Act, an act that was enacted in 1936. It's federal law that provides priority rights for people who are legally blind to operate, again, food service operations such as cafeterias, vending machines, food concessions within building federal buildings. Shortly after, I believe it was 1945, Connecticut established similar law, General Statute 10-303, better known as the Mini Randolph-Shepherd Act, expanding the priority to include the operation of vending stands, vending machines, snack bars, cafeterias, gift shops, and state and municipal locations as well. So that's what's allowed our program to essentially expand to the offerings into state and municipal locations off the backs of the federal regulation. The BEP administration's responsibility, my responsibility, Tracy's, and the field reps that are part of the program, it's to train and supervise and essentially business operators, equip locations financially with all the essential equipment required to operate the facility, provide initial inventory, and offer ongoing business support, such as the maintenance and repair and the replacement of all of the equipment. In addition, we work hard to try to expand opportunity within the program when we seek interest through our first right opportunity and have deemed that location to essentially be viable at the time of interest. You know, additional benefits of being part of the program outside of being an entrepreneur is the offering of the state health insurance, the dental life insurance, and the ability to, you know, participate on state retirement plans. In addition, operators who have locations in, let's say, state and municipal locations, also receive vending commissions on backs of our statewide vending contract in which we operate. In Connecticut, VEP in specific is a self-funded program, and it's self-funded through the income derived from a statewide vending contract, and again, in which all that income derived from there supports, yes, our salaries as an administration, but in addition, supports the entire program, allowing essentially operators to operate their facilities and just be responsible for their business expenses, such as payroll, taxes, and those type of things, and inventories outside of the initial inventory. So in our program, we literally pay just about 100% for anything that has to do with maintaining the operation in which an operator has been placed. So essentially, the earnings derived are 100% the manager / operator income after such expenses have been reduced, business expenses. You know, a question that's always asked in our program is essentially, you know, who's eligible to be in the business enterprise program? You know, I think the thing is, to be licensed in BEP, you must be legally blind. You have to be a United States citizen. In addition, be registered within vocational rehab. You know, should opportunities present itself through VR, the assigned counselor would essentially forward such referral to our program, allowing for further discussion to pursue on my end and the potential ability to place a person as a client into our program as an operator. One thing that I've been asked that I would like to clarify is that on the BEP end, we do not maintain a list of referrals. So essentially, our program, you know, we don't maintain any lists. So, for example, if you are interested in our program as running a concession stand in, I don't know, we'll just say West Hartford, and, you know, a VR referral come to us in regards to your interest at a West Hartford location, you know, we would do all we can to try to place you in the facility once we identify your ability to essentially be able to execute the responsibilities. And if for whatever reason you don't want, a person doesn't have interest or doesn't want to pursue the opportunity, the next opportunity that may come about through a VR request, you know, it's the mindset of our program that the counselor will maintain obviously active communication with any client through VR, and be able to understand what, you know, the client in VR ultimate goal is. And if it's BEP, then I would assume that I would see multiple referrals perhaps for the same client until there's a match and an allowance of opportunity in the BEP program. Other things that would be requirements essentially to be eligible in the business enterprise program is there's a couple things. There's, you know, we're looking for individuals that are organized, ability to relate well with the general public, you know, have mathematical skills and management and marketing skills, and essentially the key to any entrepreneurship opportunity is motivation. Motivation is necessary. You know, coming into an entrepreneurial opportunity, there's outside of motivation, or I should say in addition, you must have the mindset of understanding that there's no guarantees in the finances, the profitability. We always try to structure opportunities in which align with an individual's interest and profitability. Our program offers opportunities on a major sliding scale. And what I mean by that, I mean, you can find an operator that earns $10,000. You can find an operator that earns over $100,000. It's, you know, these opportunities are really geared towards the individual's interest. You know, everyone has different interests, everyone has different skill sets, and everyone wants to take on opportunities at different speeds, and their ability obviously is wide ranged as well. So we do tend to offer opportunities in various capacities. Our program at this time does offer opportunities, or I should say, have active operators that may